Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
This morning I read from 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verses 38 and 39, where Saul offered to David his armor. David put it on and then said to Saul, "I can't use it. I haven't tested it. I haven't proven it. And it's not adapted for me. It's not mine." And he put it off and he took his own armor. The sling and the stones that he had been used to, that he had tested and tried, the means through which his faith in God could be expressed, and the means by which he would be able to challenge Goliath in Goliath's defiance of Israel and of Israel's God. I think it's important as we read this event to realize that it was not merely a battle between David and Goliath. It was a battle between the pagan gods of Goliath and the Philistines and between David and the God of Israel. And that's what that's all about. David was simply the instrument by which this was to be accomplished. In verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17, I read that, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the host of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.'" And so we can see then how it was. It was a matter of David's own faith, having tested and tried that faith as he had battled lions and bears and God had helped him win the battle. He was now prepared to take that same faith that he had exercised and put it to test against Goliath. And we know the outcome of that. And so this morning I talked about the importance of the individual nature of our faith. It must be mine. You see, this was not the first time that David had exercised his faith. He had already used it. If it had been the first time that David had ever been confronted with a situation like this, his faith might not have been sufficient, might not have been strong enough. But having already won some battles, he was then prepared for this. We need to learn the lesson from this of the importance of exercising our faith every day. Not only must we exercise our faith when we gather in an assembly like this, but we live by faith. Habakkuk 2 and 4, the prophet said, "The just shall live by faith." That verse is quoted in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 by Paul. It's quoted by Paul again in the Galatian letter. And if Paul is the writer of the Hebrew letter, and I think he is, it's also quoted in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Three times we find the phrase, "The just shall live by faith." And therefore, if I am to meet the trials of life by faith, it's important that I exercise my faith each day. I do as David did, that I let my faith develop and grow and mature. God called Abraham, and Abraham walked by faith, lived a life of faith. He called him in Genesis 12, and we know that Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. And so Abraham went out and he walked by faith. And then you finally come to Genesis 22. And it says there in verse 1 that God did test or tempt, the King James Version says, try, American Standard Version, I believe, said, did test or try Abraham. He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son." And I believe the first part of the passage said, after these things, God did not give Abraham that kind of test early in his life. His faith had been growing and developing and using that faith until finally when he came to this crisis in life. God said, "Take now thine only son and offer him as a sacrifice." His faith then was able to handle that. He arose early the next morning without any question, went on his way and came to the mount. And the record says in Genesis 22, he said to the servants, and you stay here. And he was going with Isaac in the mount to worship God. Now think about that. Worship God under circumstances like that. And when Isaac raised the question, where is the lamb? Abraham replied, God will provide. That didn't happen overnight. That came as a result of his using his faith each day that he lived. Until finally now, when he faces this trying time in his life, his faith will sustain him, and without any quibble, without any question, without any reservation, he's able to live by that faith and to use it. Then Joseph is an example of a man that used his faith, lived by faith. His brother sold him down into bondage, but it is by faith that Joseph lived. Was the best prisoner that Pharaoh ever had. Until finally he came to be next to Pharaoh. And then there came the time that Joseph was going to die. Joseph knew he was going to die. And then in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the latter part of that chapter, Joseph said, I want you to take my bones and carry them over into the land of Canaan. How did he do that? You see, he had lived by faith from the time that he was a young man until now when he's died. God had made the promise that the land of Canaan would be given to them. And Joseph said, I want you to carry my bones over into the land of Canaan. Is that not the way that we'd like to die? That when I come to the end of life's pathway, to have that kind of assurance of faith that Joseph had. He was so certain that the descendants of Jacob would have the land of Canaan. The record says they embalmed his body and put it in a coffin. And for 200 years, there was that coffin of Joseph. As they went through the wilderness, they carried that coffin with them. When they crossed the Red Sea, they had that coffin. When they crossed over Jordan, flooded Jordan, under the leadership of Joshua, they had that coffin. The last chapter of the book of Joshua tells us that they buried the bones of Joseph in Canaan. How did that happen? How did he come to have a faith when the nation of Israel was growing up over in Goshen? Pharaoh was ruler of the world. These small group of people had been promised the land of Canaan. The Canaanites were living there. How could he have a faith like that? He had lived with a faith in God from the time that he was a young man. And using his faith day by day by day through all the trials that he had been through. When his brothers were afraid that he was going to get even with them for the way that they had treated him, Joseph said, I know that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see how his faith had been able to handle that and how his faith had been able to grow? But the same God that made the promise to Joseph and to Joseph's fathers that the land of Canaan would be given unto them has made the promise to me that there is a place that's called heaven. There is a place beyond this world where the wicked cease from troubling and where the weary are at rest. And when you think about living in the world with the turmoils and the trials and the tears and the heartaches and the burdens that belong to us, it ought to touch the heartstrings of every one of us. One day I'll come down to that time. If the world stands like Joseph, I'll face death. How will it be when I come to that day? The way it'll be when it comes to that day will depend upon the kind of faith that I live by each day. If I've had a faith that I have used to direct and control my life, a faith that's trusted God and led me to express it in obedience to God and to live for God, then like Joseph, there can be that assurance of faith. And I can say to those that I'm bidding goodbye to upon the earth, I'll meet you over on the other side. I'll be over there. But that doesn't come simply by living a life without taking the time to develop our faith, to study our Bibles, and to let our Bible mold our lives, to lead us to rely upon God and live for God and live like God wants us to live, to walk hand in hand with God and to use our faith as I pass through the experiences of life. But if I do that when I come down to the end of life's pathway, then that faith will be mine. And that'll be a greater treasure than anything that I could have. In the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul says that no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. And though we don't die to ourselves, we die by ourselves. No one can die for me, just like no one can have faith for me, no one can die for me. Oftentimes, there have been those that would have been glad to die in the place of somebody else. But death is a lonely, individual thing. It's something that we will experience in spite of all the others that have been through it by ourselves. There may be those that will stand by us, hold our hands, cool our fevered brow, but we'll be the one that will walk that lonely valley by ourselves. None can go with us. None can say, I'll walk with you through it. I'll go with you. I'll be your companion. A wife nor a child, and no one else can do that. It wasn't too long after I moved from East Gadsden, about 2 years, in fact, a little less, about a year and a half. After I moved from East Gadsden, I sat in the room and watched my mother draw her last breath. That was a lonely, lonely time. In spite of all that I wanted to do, there wasn't anything that I could do but to stand there and watch and wait as life became weaker, breath became shorter, and gradually life ebbed away. That's what it'd be like for me. No one can die for me. Which means that I have to live my own life. No one can make the preparation for me when that time comes. Just as no one can take my place when that time comes, no one can make the preparation that I'll need whenever that day comes. Only I can make that preparation. There have been multitudes that would have been glad to have made preparation for somebody that was unprepared going through that valley. But they couldn't do it. It's an individual thing. And therefore, we must come to be able to build into our own life the armor that will shield and care for and enable us to pass through that lonely valley. Not only that, there'll be a loneliness when we come to stand before God in judgment. Just as my faith must be mine, just as I'm going to die alone, in the same way I'll stand before God in judgment alone. I think sometimes we get the idea that in the judgment we'll be judged congregational-wise, but that's not true. When we stand before God in judgment, we'll stand there as individuals. And I'll be judged upon the basis of my own life, not upon the basis of what East Gadsden did, or upon what Shades Mountain did, or upon the basis of what Munford did, or upon the basis of what Park Avenue and the Grange did. That won't be the basis of the judgment. It's going to be determined upon the basis of my own life, of my own faith and devotion, expressed in God and living with and living for Him. And there won't be anybody there to stand in my place. No one can live the Christian life for me. And just as no one can die for me, in the same way, no one can stand before God in judgment for me. I'll have to stand there on the basis of my own. Romans 14:12, Paul said, "So then each one," listen to the language, "so then each one must give an account of the deeds that we've done. And therefore my actions, my words, my thoughts are actions that no one else will be accountable for. I'll be accountable for. God will measure me by my own. Will my works be works of faith? That's the only kind of works that will be acceptable. Any works that are not works of faith and are not expressions of trust in God will be unacceptable. That's the reason Habakkuk said, the just shall live by faith. That's the reason Paul quoted that three times in Hebrews and Galatians, and Hebrews are but the development of that idea that the just shall live by faith. That's the reason Hebrews 11, mentioned over and over, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, they lived and they are counted worthy because that's the way that they lived. We live in a hurried world. Pressures around us on every side. And so many times, because of the pressures that are around about us, we lose sight of life's main objective, what life's all about. And we let it slip away from us. And secondary and incidental things become more important to us than the real things of life, which is going to determine our eternal destiny. And we need to take the time as we begin the year to think about our own individual responsibility and our own individual life and how it's going to fare as far as our coming to meet God in judgment. I mentioned the fact that David could not use Saul's armor. But in writing to the Ephesians, Paul describes the armor of the Christian. And I'd like to read that and like for us to think about it. Because here is the armor that we'll need to be clothed in. If we're going to build the life that enables us to walk by faith, to live in obedience for ourselves and make the choices that we need to make, to enable us to face the trials of life and use our faith, to enable us to have the faith and the kind of life that will carry us through the experience of death, and to have the kind of faith that will enable us to stand as an individual before God. Listen to what Paul said, a very familiar passage, and yet it's one that we all need to think about. Beginning in verse 11 of Ephesians 6, he said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And therefore, as David took an armor that he could use, Paul is saying, here is the armor that you're going to need if you're going to fight the battle. Live the individual Christian life and be able to stand against the pressures of life and be able to live and please God, and then to have the faith to stand before Him in the judgment. And so he says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so the battle is a spiritual battle. It's a battle against Satan, the enemy of the souls of men, one that continues going about seeking whom he may devour. So he says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's the importance of the Bible. The idea of having our loins girt about with truth, that is to have the girdle of truth around us, which gives stability and foundation to life. And without that girdle of truth, wrapped around the inward man, wrapped around our lives, we'll not have the stability to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. That comes through the obedience of faith and the redemption that God has provided for us in the gospel of Christ. That's ours through the cleansing blood of Christ. Revelation 12, in verse 11, it says that these overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And they loved not their lives. They were willing to die for the testimony of the faith that they believed. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so we're to have our feet shod with the gospel of Christ. And it's the gospel of peace. Then again he says, and above all, taking the shield of faith, there it is, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Look at that language. Having put on the whole armor of God, then there's prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. In spite of the difficulties. In spite of what may be the problem, because I'm individually responsible, not other people. Other people may stand in my way, other people may hinder me, but when it finally comes down to the end, I'm the one that makes the choice. I'm the one that makes the decision. I'm the one that determines. I'm the one that controls, because finally I'm the one that is responsible. And therefore, no wonder he said, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so, here is the armor then that we need to put on. And as David said to Saul, I can't use your armor. It won't fit. My faith won't fit you. Your faith won't fit me. I must develop my own. And I must gather around me the truth. What I know about the Bible won't help you until you in your own heart grapple with what I may teach, until there is a depth of conviction within your heart that says, I know that I know that's right, because I know that's what the Bible teaches. Gird that truth around your own life. Then with that breastplate of righteousness and shield of faith, yours, when death comes. That armor will see you through. And when the judgment comes, that armor will be your protection. And the victory will be yours. How do I see my life? Do I see it individually? How do I think about it? Do I think about others? Or do I think about my own? What about your faith tonight? What about your obedience? What about the day that you come to die? How will that day be? Will it be like Joseph? What about it when you stand before God in judgment? How will it be then? These are sobering questions. They tell us to stop, ponder, think, examine our way, and raise the question, where am I tonight along the pathway of life? I don't know of anything that I could have talked about this morning and tonight that's more appropriate for us to think seriously about as we begin and move into the new year. If you're not a Christian tonight, do you know enough about the Bible to know what it teaches? And have you been convinced in your own heart? And you know what it says? You'll have to obey it for yourself. God sent His Son. His Son died. To encourage you, all of us are going to be singing in a few minutes. Hearts will be praying. But when all of that's said and done, it finally gets back to you and your decision. What will you do about it? All the other will be in vain unless you make up your own mind to act on your own faith and obey for yourself. And that's the only way that you'll ever be prepared when life comes to an end and when you stand before God in judgment. If you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you know that, and you believe that because of your own personal conviction of the Bible, and you're repentant of sin because you're tired of it, and you're weary of it, and you know it's wrong, and in your own heart you're changing your mind about the values of life, and you know in your own heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you want to express that from your own heart and mouth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then, because you want to die to an old life of sin and crucify the old man, to be buried with the Lord in baptism, to begin that new life, to begin that new walk, and exercise that faith every day and live by faith. And then, like Joseph, have the faith that will carry you through death and through the judgment. The invitation's yours while together we stand and sing.